Little corners, very ends, be put away. Melt my heart into tenderness before him. His weary call, his merciful dealings with us. Let the Spirit of God, like a holy flame, burn away the rubbish piled up at the door of my heart, and let Jesus in. He's knocking on your heart. Will you let him in? Let him in, let him in. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, strengthen these weary hands and feeble knees. My inconsistencies, they show, but he's helping me. Hidden in Christ, a life restfulness. Laborers we are together with him. What a completely free gift, none but his righteousness. He's knocking on your heart. Will you let him in? Let him in, let him in. Will you let him in? Let him in, let him in. Jesus is
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Do you hear me clear? All right. Thank you. Today is June 17, 2023. And before we start, I invite you all to pray, to ask God's presence. So please kneel if you can. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for another opportunity that we can gather together freely and worship you this holy Sabbath day and answering our prayer with a very good internet connection. We praise you, Lord. We invite your holy presence to continue in our midst. Continue speak in our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the children's story and study that we heard earlier. And now, I ask you to please bridle my tongue as I continue speaking in your behalf. Please forgive us, Holy Father, for all the sins we have committed against Thee. Grant us peace and joy as we worship You this Sabbath day. For we ask all these things in the best of our ability, in the name of our loving Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Amen. Right, again, praise the Lord. And before we start, the link for the sermon notes is posted in the text chat. And those who are in WTPR, just type into your browser the URL sdrmovement.org/note/06-1723.html. Yeah, that's the day to day. So our topic for this Sabbath is about backsliding. Yeah, this is a very common subject, but it's very important. And for that, I wanted to let everyone know that we might go beyond our allotted time. So I would ask your patience and understanding as God impresses today. Please bear with me. Anyway, you're not going anywhere this Sabbath, right? So to begin with, the word backsliding means turning back or turning away from God. 1 Kings 11:9 said, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice." We will learn more about this as we go on. Proverbs 4:18, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." When we first found the gospel truth and embraced it, accepted our Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, the first beam of light shined in our heart. And this light of truth is like the morning light that grows brighter and brighter till the full day. And this pathway, the path of the just, the way of the righteous, is an onward path. And there is no stopping, nor turning back. There is no shortcuts, no short routes. It's not an easy road. Nevertheless, it is a safe path, because Jesus is ahead, leading us. God has promised help at every step we take. The path of the just is the path of duty and obedience, the path of virtue, health, and happiness for each one of us. He's God's people, and we are directed to keep walking forward and upward, to keep growing spiritually, to progress from strength to strength, to perfection till the end. This is our goal. The precious light that keeps on shining in our hearts as we daily study His words and fulfill our religious duties, through the help of the Holy Spirit, will give us a spiritual eyeglass, a discernment to detect errors and sins that still hidden in our hearts so we can repent. And the saving light of truth of Jesus will give us grace to overcome. And this is our privilege, not only as a follower of Christ, but for the whole remnant church. Remember the warning of our Lord that one of the special dangers in the last days is that the love of many shall wax cold. Why? In Matthew 24:12, we have the answer. It says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." No doubt, we are now living in the perils of the last days. The word "many" in this text refers to the professed Christians, those who claim that they are followers of Christ. Many are cold and few are hot. Because of the prevailing iniquity or sin, the breaking of God's holy law, many turn away from God. Their declining love for God shows that in some sense, they are partakers in this iniquity. Many become cold in their faith. Many become cold in loving the truth they embrace. Many become cold because of their darling sin, the love of the world, its fashion, and its customs. Many become cold in loving our God and loving our neighbors. And only few are fervent and true who have the vital heat of godliness in their heart. Only few has the fervor of devotion who do not allow their love for God to wax cold. Yes, it is true that iniquity abounds everywhere. But as a remnant of God who keeps the commandment of God and the faith of Jesus, it is not necessary that we should be affected by this darkness. Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:5 it says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." So let us strive to retain our zeal, our determination to advance to this path of holiness in spite of trials and temptations, obstacles and challenges that we meet every day, and be a light to shine in darkness. Our days of probation is soon to close. We are nearing the end of all things, and we are especially warned in Luke 21:34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares." Let us take heed. Watch yourselves, your souls and bodies, your lives and conversation. Let's not be absorbed with the things of the world that will unfit us for our spiritual and religious duties. Let us guard our hearts. The heart is the citadel of the soul. It is the fortress and stronghold of the whole man. The heart is the seat of our affection and passion, as of love, joy, grief, enmity, courage, and pleasure. The heart is the seat of our will. It is where we make choices. So, let's yield our heart to obedience all the time. Psalms 119:112 says, "I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end." Psalms 40:8 says, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Let us delight and incline our heart to do his law. We are not to please our own will, because this is what our fallen nature always desires, and it's always opposed to the will of God. We are to delight. We have to find pleasure in God's will, in doing God's will, which is no other than the law of God, written in our hearts. And when we hide the law in our heart and keep it as our best treasure, it will protect us from breaking it. Psalms 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." The law is not only protection from sin. When our thoughts, meditations, and affections are fixed upon obeying his law, it will also serve as our guide to keep our feet from sliding. Psalms 37:31 says, "The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide." Psalms 26:1, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide." In these both verses, the word slide means to waver, to make to shake, and slip, according to Strong's 45:71. Our God created us an intelligent being. He has given us intellect and freedom of choice. Every day we make choices. We make decisions. We make decisions either we draw closer to God or cause us to fall away. Remember, we also have a vigilant enemy, like a roaring lion who always tempts us to see if we will fall in his trap. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant." Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan desires to afflict and distress us by placing temptation and trials in our way to test us. If we would stay faithful to God or would turn from Him, Satan is determined to strip us of our spiritual strength and divert our efforts in other way if he thinks that we will not give in to his attacks. He will change his tactics and crowd our lives with other interests. Mark 4:19 says, "And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." So when we turn away from our own ways and started to walk on the straight path, our tests, trials, and challenges will not end. Those who walk in the broad road pose no threat to Satan, but his eyes are upon the elect, the remnant, to deceive and mislead. And Satan is working over time. Obedience to Christ is not optional, my dear brothers and sisters. It never has been an elective in the course of the Christian walk. Matthew 19:17 says, "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." John 8:31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believeth on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." So when we stray outside the boundaries of God's will, we step on a place that is dangerous, not only spiritual, but emotionally, psychologically, and even physically. Backsliding is a gradual loss of balance and stability, or it is a falling away. But it is always the result of personal choice. Isaiah 30, verse 9 and verse 15 says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not." 2 Timothy 2:12, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." So you have a choice to hear the law or not. You have the choice to return to the Lord or not. You have a choice to suffer with him or not, to deny him or not. If, and I say it again, if we keep our eyes, as is stated in Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If we keep on walking in all the commandments with integrity or perfection, if we keep on trusting our Lord by submitting our will and ways to him, the Lord has promised help for you. For us, he is there on our side. We shall not be moved. Our feet shall be firm and secure. We shall not swerve on the way. We shall not slide. But keep this in mind, my brothers and sisters, that all the promises and threatenings of God are alike conditional upon our obedience to His word. There is always an if. Deuteronomy 11:27-28 says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which ye have not known." Although our God has offered help and promised grace, it is up to us. It is up to us if we will receive the blessing and obey. God has committed to us this special work to be accomplished on earth these final days. If our heart, our mind, will choose to keep on believing and holding His precious truth, the righteousness of Christ, the third angel's message, and apply them in our lives, no matter what come may, we shall prevail unto the end. But if we choose to disobey, if we choose to turn aside by turning away from our Lord, we are in great danger, for you and I will be accursed. Again, let us take heed. We are warned in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Yes, unbelief in heart is evil because it will turn us away from God. Unbelief is sin. John 16 verse 9 says, "Of sin because they do not believe on me." Unbelief is a weight of sin which easily entangles us. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." The path of the just is not a smooth path. It is steep and rugged. So let us not carry additional weight of unbelief to hold us back in running on this spiritual race. Let us put away from our heart any weight of sin, and let us keep running with patience in the way which is marked out for us. But those who are boastful and self-confident, those who are trusting to themselves, losing sight of their own weakness and constant need of divine strength, will be in danger. And we are in more danger if we feel that our mountain of self standeth sure. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Casting down imaginations and everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every proud thought of the heart and exalted opinions, every feeling of self-sufficiency, every high thing which is lifted up against the knowledge of God must not be entertained and must be put away in our hearts. Because the moment we yield, the moment we give in, it is then that our feet will begin to slide. We are again warned in 1 Corinthians 10:12, Wherefore, let him that thinketh he is standeth take heed lest he fall. Psalms 85:8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly, to doubt and question the providence of God after mercy has been shown is really foolishness. There are two types of backsliding I can see in the Bible. First, it is a perpetual backsliding by either a corporate body or individual which led to great apostasy, who choose to never come back to God, and the end result is complete fall and destruction. Example of the backsliding church are the Jewish church, the Roman church, the Protestant churches, and the SDA church. And the example of individuals are King Saul and Judas. The second type of backsliding is a temporary or partial backsliding by an individual, but eventually recovered from sleep and fall, and they return to God. We have King David. We have Apostle Peter as an example. But take note, in both types of backsliding, either permanent or temporary, the Lord looks at this sin as evil and bitter. Jeremiah 2:19 says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Our God look on backsliding as an evil thing. It is morally bad and bitter in nature, particularly the forsaking of the Lord. Backsliding is a root of bitterness. It may be sweet to the taste of a backslider, but it produces a bitter effect, as calamities, punishments, and evil things will surely follow because they had no fear or reverence of God. The fear of committing sin is no longer on their eyes, no longer in their hearts. By turning our back on God, who is our Creator and Sustainer, to whom we are dependent for all we have, is foolishness and sinful indeed. Hence, it is grievous in the sight of God. Having said all this, let us elaborate more on these two types of backsliding. Let's talk about the backsliding of the corporate bodies. First is the Jewish church, the ancient Israel, then followed by the rest and so forth. So as we all know, after the Ten Commandments was given to Israel in Mount Sinai, they backslided immediately from God by breaking commandment number 1 and number 2. Exodus 32 verse 8, by worshiping other gods and making graven image. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded thee. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, this be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Nehemiah 9:26. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. Notwithstanding all the favors and mercies God bestowed upon Israel, his chosen people in the past, they were found ungrateful. They neglected and despised the law and would not care nor regard to observe them. The good things they enjoyed in the land which God had given them made them unruly and forgetful of God and His commandments. The Lord God said through Prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 5:6, "Wherefore, O a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out then shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased." Jeremiah 3:6, "The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot." Jeremiah 8:5-6, "Why then is this people of Jerusalem leaden back by a perpetual or permanent," according to Strong's 53:29, "a perpetual or permanent backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle." Please note that the word backsliding on this text means apostasy. Backsliding, turning away. Israel's refusal to repent from their many transgressions and their increased and permanent backslidings led Israel to go in bondage and become desolate. Jeremiah 3:12-14 and verse 22 says, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord God. For I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion." Verse 22, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding." Hosea 14:4 says, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely." Yes, our Lord God is merciful and full of compassion. Out of His mercy and love, He has repeatedly called upon Israel to repent of their backsliding. He called upon them to return, for God loved them freely. God has promised them healing if they only acknowledge their iniquity. But they would not. They stubbornly refused to return and be healed. They took for granted God's merciful offer, and that's really a terrible thing. That's why the backsliding Israel was likened to a backsliding heifer, a stubborn young cow. Hosea 4:16, "For Israel is lighted back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place." So the word backsliding here means to turn away, rebellious, stubborn. Like the young cow, not accustomed to the yoke, which will not submit to it, but keep on wiggling its neck from under it. The backsliding Israel would not submit to the easy yoke of God, but is rebellious. The yoke of Christ is the law of God, which is not grievous or hard to keep, according to Matthew 11:30 and 1 John 5:3. when Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." 1 John 5:3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Like the untamed and unruly cubs, which drew aside or backward, rather than moving forward, the backsliding Israel stubbornly refused to be separated from her sin, from her sinful idols, and her sinful living. So backsliding, as you will see, as I said in the beginning, is a common subject, but it is a very serious sin because it is a real thing. It is so dangerous and deadly in character. And if one is infected with it and never repent, like the Jewish church, they will surely reap their sure punishment. As you also notice in the text in Jeremiah 5:6 given earlier, backsliding is also connected to harlotry or harlotry. This was tackled by Brother Nick earlier too in the study. Yes, the Jewish church become a harlot. According to Isaiah 1:21, how is the faithful city become an harlot? So harlotry is breaking commandment number 7. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Exodus 20 verse 14. And we are told that there is a spiritual adultery or harlotry, as we read in James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Look what happened to the Protestant churches, like the Lutheran, Methodist, the Baptist, including their sister church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church of today. Like the Jewish church, these once faithful cities or churches enjoyed the mercies and favors of God. They were used by God mightily in the past to proclaim the gospel of Christ, but they backslided big time and never come back to God as His bride, because they drifted away to the world and completely apostatized from that foundation of truth. They choose darkness rather than life. That's why we are here, the remnant. But how did God Protestant churches corrupt themselves and become a harlot? The second angel has declared in Revelation 14:8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Speaking of the backsliding Protestant churches, in Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, pages 194 to 195 and page 20, I'm not going to read everything. We can read that the churches became corrupted, or the Protestant churches become corrupted by allying themselves with the world. In page 195, it says, Satan saw that he had failed to crush out the truth by persecution. He again resorted to the same plan of compromise which led to the great apostasy and the formation of the Church of Rome. And in page 200 for SOP, Jesus saw his church like the barren fig tree, covered with pretentious leaves, yet destitute of precious fruit. There was a boastful observance of the forms of religion, while the spirit of true humility, penitence, and faith, which alone could render the service acceptable to God, was lacking. Instead of the graces of the Spirit, there were manifested pride, formalism, vainglory, selfishness, oppression, a backsliding church closed their eyes to the signs of the times, God did not forsake them or suffer His faithfulness to fail. But they departed from Him and separated themselves from His love. As they refused to comply with the conditions, His promises were not fulfilled to them. Just like the Jewish church and the Protestant churches, the SDA church has turned back and backslided continually from following Christ. On May 30, 1882, Sister White was filled with a sadness because of the condition of the SDA church, as we can read in 5207. She said that our own course of continual backsliding has separated us from God. And in paragraph 2, he said, the church has turned back from following Christ, her leader, and is steadily retreating toward Egypt. Sadly, the backsliding and apostasy of the SDA church is perpetual, is permanent, just like the Jewish church. And this will continue to happen till our Lord's return from heaven, because according to Special Testimony Series B, number 7, page 57, dated December 4, 1905, we read, one thing it is certain is soon to be realized. The great apostasy, which is developing and increasing and waxing stronger, and will continue to do so until the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. Truly, because of our pride and failure to walk in the light and choosing darkness, the SDA church refused to repent of her backsliding and apostasy since then. And the SDA church never came back to God. And God pronounced her terrible doom. And in Review and Herald, August 1, 1893, it says, of those who boast of their light and yet fail to walk in it, Christ says, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, Seventh-day Adventists who have great light, which are exalted unto heaven in point of privilege, shall be brought down to hell. The perpetual and permanent backsliding committed by the corporate church, when they refused to return to God but united and joined hand with the world in transgressing the law of God, when they builded a new foundation out of Christ, when their observance of religion relies only with formality and outward show, they totally separated from God, and great apostasy happened. A complete fall and destruction followed. Meanwhile, we have individuals like King Saul and Judas who choose to commit a perpetual or permanent backsliding and never return to God, which led to their tragic end. Like King Saul, in 1 Samuel 15:11, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. 1 Chronicles 10:13, so Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. Saul was chosen and anointed by God as the first king of Israel, but he became disobedient. He actually even lied and never came back to God, and eventually died for his transgression. We can see Judas in John 13 verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Matthew 27 verse 5 says, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hung himself. Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and has gone into committing sin of murder against him. On the other toss of a coin, there is a temporary or partial backsliding which is committed by individuals who have recovered from their slip and fall. We have King David as well as the Apostle Peter as an example. How did David fall? You can read the whole chapter of 2 Samuel verse 11 and 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12 to save time. But I will read 2 Samuel 12 verse 13. And David saith unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. What happened? How did David fall? King David watched Bathsheba undress, and soon it was but a little step for him to give expression to the imagination of his heart. David, a man of God, imagine, committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband Uriah murdered to cover his sin. So, the backslider does not suddenly wake up one morning and go out and commit adultery. Over a period of time, he may have become lax in his thought, in his thoughtful life, or he or she entertained fleshly desires. Maybe someone here today may know that broken heart that David experienced over his backsliding sin, a guilty conscience of a backslider. That someone may need to repent of his or her sin just like David did and get right with God today. And there is a way back. The way back is to repent. Confess your sins before God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From the life of David, we learn that one sin leads to another. That one sin of lust in the heart of David quickly led him to drunkenness, to adultery, and even murder. Although David repented of his sin and was forgiven and accepted by God, yet justice must be maintained. There was a severe consequence even though he was forgiven. David's repentance did not prevent God's retribution. He suffered tremendous grief at the death of his child of sin. And in his great anguish of heart, as one who experienced the presence of God but backslided from God, this is expressed in the whole chapter of Psalms 51. You can read it again by yourself when you have a chance to save time. The Bible also tells how Apostle Peter denied the Lord three times. In Matthew 26:69-75. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out in the porch, another maid saw him and said them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. And then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crow, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter cursed and swore, claiming that he never knew Jesus. Yes, Peter fell like David, but he wept. He bitterly wept and repented. Peter went back to his old fishing business, but Jesus finally caught up with him to restore him to a place of fellowship and blessing once again. John chapter 21, 15 to 17, and Luke 22, 31, 32. Jesus said to him, Feed my lamb, feed my sheep. I remember the song entitled, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. You may be familiar with the song. The lyrics say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And this should be our song. Unfortunately, our fallen human nature is prone to sin. That's why we have to watch and guard our hearts all the time, for it could lead us astray. Jeremiah 17:9 says, The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Hosea 11, verse 7, And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. Proverbs 14:14, The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The backslider in heart, who, for fear of suffering, or in hope of profit or pleasure, forsakes God and his duty, shall be filled with his own ways. God will give him enough of them. Backsliding begins in the heart. It is the evil heart of unbelief that departs from God. And of all sinners, backsliders will have most terror when they reflect on their own ways. Hebrews chapter 10:38 says, Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul have no pleasure in him. As a child of God, we have received by faith the imputed righteousness of Christ. We have been renewed in the spirit of our mind and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We maintain our integrity and acknowledge that we cannot live without God. We enjoy the many blessings of being part of His family. We have tasted the sweet graces of His character. The fruits of the Spirit manifested in our lives. We have seen the goodness of the Lord even in our time of trials and troubles, in our pain, in our afflictions. Yes, the just shall live by faith. We live by faith and not by sight. And after enjoying this privilege, this blessed privilege, and then drawing back or backsliding from God, how can we do that? By forgetting Him, by withdrawing from the truth because of fear of reproach and persecution, By beholding the truth and shunning to declare it, or by playing the hypocrite, taking only the form of godliness but denying the power thereof and grieving the Holy Spirit? All this really shows lackness of faith and spiritual blindness. If we backslide and draw back now, we make shipwreck of our faith, and God will say to us, "My soul hath no pleasure in you. I abhor you. I cast you off." One characteristic of backsliding is slipping away from God. It is an act of moving smoothly, quickly, and gradually without obstruction. Hebrews 2:1 says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." And if we are careless in our Christian walk, we can easily slip away from our high calling. We can slip away from the truth and spiritual duties and backslide from God. When we make wrong choices over a period of time, we gradually slide into a backslidden state. We slip or slide gradually because we stop hearing the Word of God. Hebrews 5:11 says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." It is possible to slip, slide, or fall while walking in the path of life. So we have to be careful in our steps, in our daily walk. By carelessness and spiritual laziness, we become slow of hearing and understanding of His words. Most often, this arises from pride and prejudice, irreverence of the Word of God, and frequently from the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life. And when we stop responding to the truth, the impressions of the Holy Spirit, we are in danger of slipping away from the truth that we once embraced. The phrase, "let them sleep," means to flow by or glad by. Imagine you are viewing a boat drifting with the wind out into the ocean. And as it drifts farther and farther away, you begin to lose sight of the boat. In a similar way, when we neglect our duties and our minds begin to wander away from the truth, we slowly drift away from it. We may not know it right away because of the moment's pleasure and excitement of sin. Perhaps our minds are occupied by worldly things, yet we start losing ground. We don't notice the fall, but little by little we begin to lose our hold, and then we slowly drift away from the truth in our hearts, and we slide back into the old ways of sin. The first step in backsliding is venturing to disregard the Lord's express command. Then, a complete apostasy is too often the result. Yes, backsliding is usually gradual, and over time, you may get into a backslidden state where God must awaken you. They don't know or even realize that they are no longer spiritually connected to the Lord in fellowshipping. In fellowship and blessing, many Christians want to remember the old way of life instead of remembering the new way of life and redemption. Another attribute of backsliding is that a backslider is not moving forward in their Christian life and experience. No wonder it is called backsliding. Jeremiah 7:25, "But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walk in the counsels and in their imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." Jeremiah 15:6, Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. Lamentations 1:8. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sighed and turned backward. Dear brothers and sisters, we are nearing the end. We are to advance more and more rapidly in Christian growth, or we return to our old and worse condition just as decidedly. Unless we continue to go on in this holy path, to move forward and improve our faith and our privileges by the help of Christ, we will go weak spiritually. Our condition go worse. Separation from God will be seen. If we make little efforts to do right and then go back to our old life of sin, we deceive ourselves. And many souls will be led to destruction because of our example and influence. God promises to receive those who return with repentant hearts. But God's patience toward those who keep on backsliding, with perpetual backsliding, because they refuse to return, is limited. Some, like King Saul and Judas, are reprobate. They are beyond repentance. But if they are rejected of God, it is because they have rejected Him. Remember, God's desire is always for their return. The difference between the righteous and the wicked is laid down in Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Yes, the just man, though he falls 7 times, he gets up again. He does not remain in his sin. Like David, like Peter, they repented and rose up again. So God requires the backsliders in heart to acknowledge their sins and change their ways. Our God is ready to pardon, according to Nehemiah 9:17. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. God will never abandon us. We just have to take only the first step to reach Him, to choose to return to Him. Malachi 3:7, He said to us, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you," saith the Lord of hosts. Dear brothers and sisters, there is no time for backsliding now. Each of us must have a living connection and experience in the things of God. Let us have root in ourselves and become grounded in the faith without wavering. Colossians 1:23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. And in Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Yes, God wanted us all to be holy if we want to enter heaven, to enjoy the fellowship of the Godhead. We must enter into it with perfect characters, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We must be separated from sin and sinners now, if we want to be there. And lastly, I want to leave these final words of promise to all of us. In June, chapter 1, 24 to 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. It is my prayer that all of you are blessed with what we share this Sabbath day. You will hear a song of praise after this, and we will close in prayer. Happy Sabbath, everyone, and God bless.
And I will call upon your name when my heart is afraid. I'll call upon your name, and I will call upon your name when my heart is afraid. I'll call upon your name, and I will walk in your ways. You're my refuge and strength, my refuge and strength. And I will walk in your ways. You're my refuge and strength, my refuge and strength. You will always give me grace when my soul is faced. Oh, you will give me grace. You will always give me grace when my soul is braced. Oh, you will give me grace.
I invite you to please kneel again, if you can. We're going to close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so much thankful, Father, for searching and knowing our hearts. Please forgive us if you find an evil heart of unbelief to you. If we have the spirit of backsliding in our heart, for you have promised to forgive and to heal us. Help us to be a channel of blessings to the people around us instead. Help us to follow your example in doing good and use all our talents in your service to your divine grace. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit to be our guide, teacher, witness, and sanctifier. We ask you, Lord, for the large measure of the latter rain you have promised to your church. And please help us to prepare. To prepare us and our family to meet you face to face when you return. So please, Father, be with us. Please continue to be with us, especially in the remainder of this Holy Sabbath day. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Amen.